We get things underway this hour, though, by getting on the telephone line and welcoming in Steve Buckley of The Athletic. Buck, good afternoon.
Well, my birthday is the 16th of April, so let's get that out of the way right now.
You having another one? Didn't you just have one last year?
Same as Bill Belichick, same day, April 16th.
Wow. Two Boston legends sharing a birthday. That's something.
Yeah, something like that, whatever.
How was your trip to Seattle?
My trip to Seattle was fantastic, and I was visiting an old friend, Jim Capel, worked for ESPN.com for years, and I was in the company of, speaking of legends, a real one, Jerry Krasnick from Portland, Maine, One Joy Hill, Maine native, longtime ESPN.com writer.
I saw that. Jerry's been on our show a bunch of times through the years.
Yeah, it was a chance for me and Jerry and Jim Capel and Larry Stone, who's a very well-known columnist for Seattle Times. We've all been friends for years, and it was just like a break in the schedule, and we all just got together and hung out. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, good for you guys to get to do that. That's
good
to see people doing more of that things as we inch our way back closer to normal here. Before we talk about the Red Sox, I want to talk about this phenomenal piece you did in The Athletic about Foley's and Sean Clancy, and just what a wonderful story and what a really interesting guy he is.
He certainly is. And the funny thing is, I was not a regular at Clancy's. I mean, I'd been in there a lot of times, but there were other people that knew him a lot better. But when I'm in New York, I lived in New York for 3 years, and I had lots of friends down there. And so I was always like running off to get caught up with people. But for those who don't know, Sean ran a bar called Foley's near the Empire State Building that was festooned with wonderful nostalgic artifacts, and he was a sweet guy. All the umpires, the writers, everybody would go there, and it was just such a warm, great place to hang out, and unfortunately, it was done in by COVID. I caught up with Sean down in Florida and was able to write a piece on him.
But he's got such a great outlook on life, even working in a Publix.
He's working at a Publix. He needs to work, but he wants to work. He's not the kind of guy that, if you ever saw him at Foley's, he was like operated by some mechanism, because he was just in constant motion, greeting people, talking to people, dealing with this, that, the other issue. And that's what he's put on earth to do, and he does it very well.
Is there a Boston version of Foley's?
I mean, there are different, you know, I don't think there's a place that owns the city. I think everybody, if you go to Quincy, there's Malachy's, you know, in Cambridge, there's a place up by St. Peter's Field that's been around forever. In Davis Square, there's the Sligo Pub, and there's all these cool little places. I think the Cask and Flagon is a pretty well-known place right near Fenway Park. And, you know, when I was in Portland, you know, there was Eddie Griffin's in South Portland.
Right.
Eddie's, God rest him. And the Pizza Villa on Congress Street was a well-known place to hang out.
Well, let's talk about the Red Sox. The opener delayed by a day as they get set to go on Friday. Last year was such a pleasant surprise to a lot of people. I think hopes are high going into this season. But some of these signs, starting with Chris Sale and others, are a bit concerning.
Yes. So let me say that I'm my outlook is pessimistic for the Red Sox. My outlook for baseball is enthusiastic. I'm looking forward to baseball because it's baseball.
Right.
I don't think the Red Sox are going to roll this year. I don't think they're going to be the pleasant surprise they were last year. And obviously, Chris Sale being out until June is a real setback. I'm old-fashioned. I know that they have openers now and starters don't go nine innings. I still, for good or bad, I still run my finger down the starting rotation and I say, show me the guys that are going to put up the innings. And I have that concern about this team, coupled with the fact that I think the Blue Jays are going to be pretty good this year.
You wrote a nice piece about Sale, and I think you're dead on that they signed him for nostalgia. They signed him for what he had done, and maybe signed him to make up for not doing the same thing with John Lester.
Yeah, and I have to preface what I'm about to say by, when I do prognosticating like try to predict what's going to happen, and I'm this big expert. I'm wrong 90% of the time, and I mean that. I have a horrible track record. However, I put that up first so I can now say this. I wrote a piece for The Athletic in December of 18, prioritizing all their upcoming free agents and opt-out players and the priority by which they should sign these players. There were seven of them. I had Mookie Betts at number one as their most important signee, and I had Chris Sale at the bottom. Not because I don't think he's a good guy, not because I don't think he's a gamer, because he is. He plays complete baseball, the way he fields his position. I saw him hustle a double a couple of years ago. He's a quality teammate. We can get into the vaccine thing, but still, on the baseball field, he's a total pro. But prone to injury, and I thought that would be a bad signing. So far, it is.
Matt Barnes, who was lights out for about a year and a half, all of a sudden the lights came back on. He was completely hittable and then just barely used down the stretch and in the postseason. We haven't seen a lot of positive signs from him. Will they end up turning to somebody like a Garrett Whitlock if this goes south in a hurry?
It could well happen, and you hate to see it because, you know, he's a young guy, but he's got 7-8 seasons under his belt. And he's been the goods for most of his career. It just seemed to go real quick. But, you know, he was carefully used for much of his career and used in the right situations. And just because a guy throws hard, just because a guy has control, just because a guy's a veteran, I mean, plug in whatever rationale you want, they don't necessarily make an easy transition to being a closer. It just isn't that easy for reasons I can't explain because, you know, it's the whole thing. Closers complain, oh, I can't come in if it's not a save situation. I can't come in with one out. And a lot of us criticize stuff like that, but we aren't closers. We aren't big league pitchers. These guys are into their routines for years and years and years. And if we try to take them away from that, there were problems. Well, they moved him into a role for a while that he was successful at until he wasn't. And I hope they find, and he doesn't have to be the closer moving forward. I just hope that they find a way to salvage his career so he can continue to be the solid big league pitcher he's been for so many years.
We're talking with Steve Buckley here on Downtown. Will you miss seeing pitchers try to hit this season?
I hate that question. Okay, I'm in favor of the universal DH. So if you want to move on to your next question, we can do that. But... you know, when I was 11 years old on the final day of the 67 season when Jim Lomborg dropped that bunt.
I remember.
To open the sixth inning to start a 4-1 rally. My hair on my hand stands up when I just think of that. And I've talked to Lomborg about it a million times. And talk to a Mets fan about Bartolo Colon. Every one of your listeners, go to YouTube when this interview is over, not now. And look up, just type in Bartolo Colon home run. Several years ago with the New York Mets in San Diego. And it was incredible. I mean, the three-run double, I think it was, who was it on the Red Sox got off of Scherzer a few years ago? Porcello.
Yeah, well, that's right, yes.
And he looked awful in the first two swings. To watch some of these great, you know, Jacob deGrom is a very good hitting pitcher. Zach Greinke is a very good hitting pitcher. Yeah,
Don Drysdale back in the day.
Drysdale, you go back to Earl Wilson, Gary Peters, Sonny Siebert, and it adds a little to the game, coupled with the intrigue of, oh, are they going to pinch hit? Well, it's moot now because they take pitches out the third inning anyway. But and again, I'm all over the map. I'm glad they're doing it. It brings more excitement to the game, more offense and all that, but a little bit of me is going to miss it and miss it terribly and mourn it. So there's my answer.
What about some of these other proposed rule changes? Are you overly concerned about the pace of play?
Oh, yeah, hugely. If I had my way, if I was the czar of baseball or some such thing, I'd be doing all kinds of things. I know Theo Epstein does it. There's a piece in The Athletic that our two Red Sox writers did. I feel like I'm selling mops here, but they did a really good piece. Theo has been entrusted with, you know, finding ways to speed the game up. I guess he doesn't like the word pitch clock. I think he's calling it the pitch meter or something like that, because I think that he thinks that clock has a bad connotation to it. I don't know why, but you got to speed the game up. And listen, when I watch a game, I settle in. I have the MLB package. I watch a game, and I just let the game come to me, and I'm not twitchy and like, oh, is that is. But I also understand that if you are going to grow the game, as hackneyed as that sounds, you're going to grow the game with kids, you got to speed it up a little bit and bring some excitement to it. So I'm all for anything that will speed the game up.
In your time as a fan of the game, what's the greatest moment you've ever witnessed live in a baseball game?
Oh, I've got to go with the Sox winning the World Series in 04, just because, you know, my mom had died the previous December. So when the Sox lost that game on the Aaron Boone home run, that was in October, and she died 2 months later. Now, my mom wasn't the biggest Red Sox fan in the world. She wasn't a big baseball fan. But she raised six kids, all six of us, five boys and a girl, were big Red Sox fans. And I remember my mom saying, you know, I'd like to see them win it. That'd be fun. So when they won it less than a year after she died, let me put it this way. A lot of times in the ninth inning of a clinching game, a lot of the media goes downstairs so they can get a seat in the press room and get their interviews around that line. I was standing next to Bob Ryan at Busch Stadium, and I looked around. Nobody left the press box. This wasn't just Boston guys. This is Joel Sherman from the New York Post and Paul Hoynes and the Cleveland Plain Dealer and on, because we weren't just witnessing the end of the World Series. We were witnessing, like, huge baseball history, the Red Sox winning the World Series. And I saw the Joe Carter home run in 93. I saw the Buckner game. I saw Pedro's 18 strikeouts or 19 strikeouts Friday night, Yankee Stadium, back in 99. I saw his relief appearance against the Indians. I've seen so many great things in baseball over the years, but the Sox winning the World Series in 04 stays with me.
We were talking about this earlier, and I'm sure you had the same experience as a kid, thinking about summer nights and baseball back when I was a kid, along with you in the late 60s, when if you were allowed to be out playing, for me it was until the streetlights came on, and you could follow the course of the game by picking it up on the radios that were on throughout the neighborhood.
That's true. That's true. And I love the story about the 9-8 game that the Red Sox, they were down 8-0, and they came back and won 9-8.
Against the Angels, I think, wasn't it?
Against the Angels. Very good by Jerry Adair. And I've heard this story about traffic being backed up for 10 minutes going into the Callahan Tunnel to Logan Airport. Because, you know, you lose reception going into the tunnel, and everybody was stopped because they wanted to hear how the game was turning out. And you know, that may be urban legend, but I like it. It's fun, and it has stayed with me all these years.
Have you got a date yet for the old-time baseball game?
Have I got a date? It's I think it's the 15th. It's a Monday, and we're just now starting. We're doing something in memory of the late Jim Corsi, the former Red Sox pitcher, who played in our game for 2 years after he retired from baseball. I don't know if you're running out of time, but I want to tell you real quick. I wrote a piece on baseball about a month back, and I mentioned the 82 playoff game against Navy, where Ed Pickett hit the home run and they won the game to go to the College World Series. Andy Lafersky from Navy made like three tremendous catches in that game. And I'm only telling you because both Ed Pickett and Andy Lafersky reached out to me.
Oh, that's great.
About that column. And I didn't even reach out. I just wrote it, but through the magic of the internet and people sending messages and stuff, it was brought to the attention of both Bucci Pickett and Andy Lafersky, and they both reached out to me. And I think that was just awesome.
Anytime Pooch Pickett comes up in a conversation, that's a good day. So that is fantastic. Yes. Right there. I found, you'll appreciate this, I was cleaning out some things a while back, and I found, and I don't know why I had it, but it was a program from a game, and I think I might have been doing it on the radio, but it was signed by Stu Lacognata.
Stewie texts me on Facebook now and then. He was a Continental Airlines pilot for a long time, and I haven't seen him in years, but every once in a while, big tall right-hander from Portland High School. I've often said that Stu Lacognata is the best player I ever saw who never played pro baseball.
Yeah,
he was tall, he had great form, he had that beautiful curveball, everything about him was good. I think then as now, I think they tend to rely too much on the speed gun, and you know, he wasn't Sam McDowell, he wasn't throwing bullets, But there's no doubt in my mind that if somebody had signed Stu Lakinata, he'd have done well in Pro Bowl.
Steve Buckley of The Athletic with us. If you haven't seen it yet, check out his piece on Foley's. And, of course, everything he does is so good. If we don't talk to you before then, a very happy, was it 49th birthday coming up?
Yes. Go with that.
Enjoy that. Enjoy the start of baseball season, Buck, and we'll catch you again soon.
Pleasure as always. See ya.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Buckley with us on Downtown.